ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Boy, I'll tell you, is it winter yet? Is it snow where you're at? It's winter here. And it's in fact, it's so much winter, I can't see anything. Can you see us? No, you can't. We're audio only tonight, folks. Welcome to the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, the 13th day of December 2018. And we're just 3 weeks away from a new year. A lot of information to get into tonight. I want to thank Global Star Radio Network for allowing us to broadcast on their platform, as well as Blog Talk Radio, BTR. Listen via BTR, and you can watch us on YouTube Live as well. If you're connected via YouTube Live, we're there. You just can't see us because we're in our pajamas. On a serious note, a lot of things to get into. First of all, I want to say that tonight's broadcast is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. OmahaSteaks.com. Have you done it yet? Have you gone there? If you haven't, you got to do so. Omaha Steaks, the best. It's the perfect gift for someone who has it all. You know, the holidays are fast approaching, and you can order gifts for everyone on your list with just a click of a mouse. That's what I like so much, given the fact that I don't like shopping, I don't like malls, I don't like any of that stuff. Omaha Steaks is my go-to company for all things gourmet, and they've got a fantastic deal awaiting listeners of the Hagmann Report. Go to omahasteaks.com, type in HH in the search bar. You won't be sorry. More on that later. Now, while the nation reels, or at least a percentage of the nation reels, from the effects of this special election, I guess we were supposed to be, Joe, are we supposed to be all thunderstruck and, you know, in just, what's going on with that?
That's a good question, because, you know,
how are we supposed to act?
I've seen a lot of reaction to yesterday's special election between Roy Moore and Doug Jones, and we saw, you know, celebration and cheers on the CNNs and the MSNBCs, and it's a referendum against Trump.
Suck it, Bannon.
Yeah, he's a disheveled drunk, according to the GOP establishment.
But by the way, that was Meghan McCain who said that, who tweeted that. Suck it, Bannon. Don't yell at me for that. But
yeah, and you know, we see many people in the media saying that, you know, this is an indicator of where the 2018 midterm elections are going to go, and Republicans should be scared. And they're saying this is a referendum on Trump, showing that the American people and the, you know, one of the most Republican states, Alabama, has put their foot down, and this is showing us where the direction of the country is headed.
Well,
and that
it's
is
been,
anti-Trump.
It's been a century since this has happened.
Right, but see, this is my problem with all this. To say that this was historic and, you know, this really shows you how the country is turning away from Trump, to try to tie this election and say that Roy Moore lost and blaming that on the Trump agenda is very disingenuous and unfair, because, as I said earlier on our daily show, they muddied the water so much with Roy Moore. This was a campaign unlike any other, where you had, you know, for 6 weeks, them battling allegations from 40 years ago, and then the questions surrounding those allegations, and it was just a big mess. So
it summarizes it nicely. In fact, I think I used that on my morning show. Since you mentioned your show, I'll mention mine. Yeah, I mean, no, I'm kidding. I think I typified it just, or described it just like that, a big mess.
Yeah, I mean, and for people to say that this is an indicator of where the country is going, I mean, you label the guy a pedophile, you know, and on a national stage for the last 6-8 weeks, and then when he doesn't win.
Let me ask you this, okay? Because we get so, and I want everyone to think about this. Is he a pedophile? I'm asking
that. That's a good question.
I'm asking that. I'm not trying to be stupid or funny.
Well, the one allegation.
What are the accusations?
The one of the first ladies who came out, and the only one that would, I guess, classify him as a pedophile, is the encounter that the one lady said she had with Roy Moore when he was 14 years old.
Okay.
Which was apparently, whatever it's worth, was consensual. You know, he was looking for a wife when they apparently had some over-the-clothes groping. Now, she was 14. Yeah. The age of consent in Alabama is 16. And apparently her parents didn't have a problem with it. I didn't listen to the whole story, but, it wasn't a problem until, you know, 6-7 weeks ago.
Okay, what about the yearbook?
The yearbook, the Beverly Nielsen story, she's completely, her credibility is lost after she tried to, after she changed her story and said she added the things in the yearbook. And
Was she number two, accuser number two?
She was the big one. She was the one that really changed the direction and got the ball rolling on people. She was number two.
All right. So we've got accusations of a 30-year-old, roughly, or someone in his 30s, messing with or having interest in a 14-year-old girl, right? Is that the main allegation?
The other ones were dated 16-year-old.
Did he have sex with her?
No.
No. Did he do anything to her?
Like I said, there was some over-the-clothes fondling.
Consensual. Well, obviously, the age can be. You cannot know. No, let me tell you, I retract that. Withdrawn, counselor, withdrawn. Okay. Don't send me emails.
A lot of what's been put into this, too, talks about, you know, this was 30, 40 years ago, the culture of Alabama back then. John mentioned this earlier. What'd you say, John? The Dixie what? This was a few years after the Dixiecrat era?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
And you get can get into on this. Too, yeah. But, all right.
So I don't know. Personally, I didn't like the idea of defending Roy Moore, but again, I didn't believe. It should be talked about. Because as I said yesterday, Roy Moore was really just the person behind the open Senate seat. It didn't look like he was even going to be able to be seated as a senator if he won. Which means the seat would have stayed in Republican hands.
Another
dynamic. But don't forget that in the primary, the GOP establishment, including Trump, had another candidate selected that they got behind, which was Luther Strange. But Roy Moore beat him out in the primary. Roy Moore was an outsider. Luther Strange was their inside establishment guy, or at least the one that they wanted. And so you not only had the left against Roy Moore, you had some of the establishment right against Roy Moore. And they spent, the GOP spent $500,000 campaigning against Roy Moore.
And how much did the Democrats spend?
I don't know. I bet a lot.
And I think there's the story here, too. Okay, there's a couple of issues far beyond what we're told. And I think the money on the Democrat side, Soros money, DNC money, backing Jones. I want to see the books on Doug Jones's campaign. I want to see that.
Well, we know there's Soros money involved.
Okay. And if there's now, Dave Dobmeier last night, Coach Dave. Hi, Coach Dave. Good show, by the way. Look, saying you're not playing in a normal playing field, so you've got to he's not obligated to really answer the accusations.
Implicate himself. He's not obligated to implicate himself from 40-year-old allegations.
Right. And I'll be the first to admit, when I saw the interview on Sean Hannity, I mean, honestly, intellectually, being as honest as I can be, that left me a little bit, it just didn't.
Well, but think about this. Roy Moore.
It just didn't sit right with me.
But think of the other side of this. You have the allegations on one hand against Roy Moore, but then Mr. Moore was also a champion of the Ten Commandments and the protection of those at the state capitol building. He also ordered his clerks not to issue gay marriage certificates
greater good. I mean, I agree, yeah.
And if you look at it as far as if there was a crime that was committed, he was, you know, well beyond the statute of limitations, and in a court of law, they'd have to let that go. That couldn't be used, but here we are in the court of public opinion and in the world of politics, so I guess anything is fair game.
I don't think
people should take it personally.
They shouldn't be upset about it.
Alabama voted. They're going to get what they voted for.
And I don't think, I do not think that this has any implications on the Trump mandate for America. I really don't. What I do think is I would take a really hard look at the voting procedures in Alabama. Because I believe what they rolled out in Alabama, they will use on a national level. I really think that we need to take a look at what the process, the voting process in Alabama, the write-ins.
Yeah. And
did you see how they changed?
Okay. Well,
there were 16,000 at 10 to 8, and then 8 o'clock there were 14,000. How does that happen?
Wait, it went down?
Yeah.
And it was up about 22,000 when everything was all said and done?
You know, I don't know. It was just, and there are screen captures on Twitter. And
okay. Well, this is stuff I'm really not going to spend a lot of time on, but I will look at it a little bit.
Look at that. And
there's some other things going on here. Roy Moore won't concede the election. He wants a full recount, but Alabama state officials ordered the destruction of the ballots to make a recount impossible. Controversy swirled over the mechanics of the Alabama Senate election after the state Supreme Court intervened at the 11th hour to give election officials a green light not to preserve electronic ballot records that could form the basis of a recount. A court in Montgomery, the state capital, issued an injunction on Monday afternoon ordering election officials around the state to preserve digital images of the ballots cast by Alabama voters in the hard-fought contest between controversial Republican Roy Moore and Democrat Doug Jones.
Yep. Yep.
And then from there, it worked its way up to the Supreme Court, and now they're allowed to destroy the ballots or the electronic records, the digital records of the electronic ballots that were preserved will instead be destroyed, and they're apparently
keep everything.
They say this according to Christopher Sauter, there's no legitimate reason not to preserve the ballot images, and in a state that already has a flawed vote recount procedure and a somewhat checkered history of questionable election outcomes, that the state senior official and courts have allowed this to go unchallenged is questionable at best, they say. But I don't know.
Look, okay. That's, to me, this is not where the real attention should be drawn, in my view. In my view, where the real, I think everybody's eyes should be on the destruction, the dismantling of our republic by way of the intelligence agencies. This is what I hit on this morning. And by the way, folks, listen to it via archive. I had some issues. Just to be clear, I had some issues this morning. I ended up having to record, pre-record, and then upload it. So you didn't catch it live. Listen to today's broadcast, my broadcast. And I'm only taking this time out because of the issues I had this morning. It was my fault. It was self-inflicted wound on my end. But nonetheless, the program was actually, had to be uploaded. But BTR is where the archive is. So, okay. So, look, the Rosenstein testimony today.
Mm-hmm.
I think they handled that with the kid gloves. There's 2 hours and 41 minutes of testimony on PBS.
There's a clip I have here. I haven't watched yet. Jim Jordan erupts on Deputy Director Rosenstein. And I have not seen that video. And I did not, I've only read what has happened there. I did not get a chance to watch any of this.
Okay. Well, and this has been pointed out, rightly so. The Congress is not a law enforcement body. So we are, our law enforcement, the FBI, has been hobbled internally by people who want to see Donald Trump destroyed.
Oh, yeah. And evidence of that is in the Peter Strzok text messages and the bias on the Mueller probe.
Our Department of Justice has been captured. It's a captured operation. Our FBI is a captured operation. So who in the hell is going to prosecute the espionage? What concerns me the most is this insurance policy discussed in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know about this?
Yep. What is that referring to?
Somebody stole my paper with the. Yeah, folks, have you heard about this insurance policy in quotation marks that was discussed? I think, did I give it to you or, because I can't find my.
No, you gave the article on Trump's lawyers want a second special counsel appointed now.
Right.
Jay Sekulow making the argument that a new independent special counsel should be appointed to look at the Justice Department and the FBI and the roles that they played in the in the election, and absolutely they should. And I have a timeline of what all those messages said, but the insurance policy was one of the ones that was looked at more closely today, and I'm going to pull up the text of that, which is pretty interesting. And if you read through these texts,
Could I do something though?
Sure.
Okay. Now I'm looking. People can't see me. I don't go to our YouTube page and chat. I don't do that often. So I'm there now. I'm looking at it now. So if you don't know, okay, listen carefully to those people in chat. Stop talking about Christmas cookies or whatever. Listen carefully. You ready? Okay. So if you don't know about the reference to the insurance policy, type in a question mark. That's all you have to do. Because I can't see. And if you do know, don't say anything.
And I found the article I was looking for.
Okay, go ahead.
Mueller's investigators text messages in 2017 Mueller insurance policy in case of Trump victory. Now, let's go through what is said here that has got everybody's attention. This is the Peter Strzok, and he is talking to Lisa Page in a text message, which is from August 15th, 2016. And when he says Andy, he's referring to Andrew McCabe. This is one of the messages. I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way Trump gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. That is Peter Strzok.
Okay, perfect.
Wait a second. Lisa Page.
I just want to say, Joe, a lot of people don't know. Thank you so much for your participation in the chat room. Thank you. So we need to, and I'm glad because I don't have a way to gauge. We don't have a way to gauge any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's set this up properly. There was a conversation held in Andrew McCabe's office, right? We believe it's McCabe. It's only referenced as Andrew,
or was Andy.
Andy. Okay.
But we know that Strzok has a very close relationship with Andrew McCabe, and that this is how he refers to him.
Okay. Do we have the text or
yes.
the reference? Okay. So now from this meeting in McCabe, reportedly Andy McCabe. Now this is
that's where he says, "I want to believe the path you threw out for our consideration in Andy."
Yes.
That there's no way Trump gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. Then it said, it's like an insurance policy. In the unlikely event, you die before you're 40. And,
okay.
It goes on from there.
Now, he's equating, in other words, this insurance policy is, you know, chances are Trump is not going to win. But just in case he does, we have to have an insurance policy.
And that's what the article goes on to ask. What would this insurance policy be? An attempt to allege collusion with Russian propagandists or something more? The rest of the anti-Trump bias in the message strings might be less of an issue only because it's not clear whether Mueller's probe will result in any real action against Trump anyway. But it really goes back to, to see how pro-Hillary and anti-Trump this Strzok was, and then to understand the roles that he played in the whole Hillary Clinton, Huma Abedin investigation, and it is unbelievable. I mean, he's literally the guy who changed gross negligence into extremely careless that Comey used as an excuse to exonerate Hillary Clinton. And he has now, we have 375 of the text messages of 10,000, of over 10,000 messages in total.
And 375 are public. We'd have to wait 3 years to get those.
Yeah.
That's BS, but go ahead.
I mean, and there's things in here, you know, Trump's a loathsome human being. He's an effing idiot. Hillary should win. I love Hillary. Things like this. And this goes on and on and on. And it gets worse. I mean, I'm not going to read through all of these, but.
You can't. They're too vile.
Oh, I know. Yeah, they are. And, the bias is so clear. And to understand and to know that this person really was the one handling the Clinton investigation, making the decisions, getting her basically cleared in the investigation,
okay.
And now he's...
This Strzok interviewed Hillary, interviewed Huma,
interviewed
Cheryl Mills, right, everybody. This guy was like, he's the only employee at the FBI, apparently.
And on the radio today, on the Sean Hannity show, on the way to the studio, I heard a former federal prosecutor who said that one thing that was really odd about this investigation is that on Hillary's side, that one lawyer was used to defend four or five defendants in this case. And she said that she would and has never seen this happen on either side of the aisle for the prosecution or for the defense in the case, and that judges and prosecutors should never have let that happen. But for some reason,
we're watching a coup. This
right.
We in our lifetime we have seen one assassination, a couple of attempted assassinations, and now we are seeing a full blown coup take place against the rightfully the duly elected president of the United States. That's Donald Trump, and we're seeing it done by the intelligence agencies. We told you this was going to happen. You're watching it happen, and no one's doing a damn thing about it. And we need to put pressure on the right people in order to get somebody to do something about this, because this is taking down our representative republic. You don't have to turn that off. I'm just, you go ahead. I'm not going to continue, but you get the idea. Strzok, the whole gang, you got Weinstein.
He might as well be in there.
Yeah, might as well throw him in there too. You got too many of these people, but.
Yeah, you got the Muellers, you got the Strauchs, you got the McCabes, and then you got the DOJ people. And there's some news that's been underreported. There was a DOJ, was it the husband worked at the DOJ and the wife worked for Fusion GPS?
Yeah, that's Bruce Orr, who is four doors down from Andrew Weissman or Peter Strzok, I can't remember which, but on the fourth floor, nonetheless, four doors down from the key man. Bruce Orr, his wife Nellie, worked for Fusion GPS in the summer of 2016, and in the fall, Fusion GPS.
And think about this. Now, all these people,
as a Russian expert, no less.
Of course. That's perfect. In the DOJ, in the FBI, why is it important that we point out this bias? Well, one, because of the investigations. But if there wasn't a special counsel, if there wasn't this Russia, you know, collusion probe, it would still be very important. These people broke the law in order to try to get their candidate to win. Because, of course, if they help that candidate out in the process of her winning the election, they're going to have, you know, promotions. They're going to be looked upon as, you know, go-to people in when they're needed. And that would benefit all the people who are involved, who would help cover for Hillary. But to take it a step further and to try to ensure a Trump downfall out of some twisted revenge or idea, at least from some of these text messages, this guy Strauch, he in one of the messages, he says, oh, you know, there's many ways I can save the country, something like that. Like he has a God complex. But to take it that much further.
And don't forget, we're talking about married
it's
people.
Criminal.
Married people having a tryst. All right.
Yeah.
10,000 text messages between this Peter Strzok and
possibly
Lisa
another
Page.
Phone involved.
Perhaps a burner phone. To hide what? The tryst or the attempted coup?
Well,
or both? I guess a multi-use burner phone.
If we believe what the text messages that were released said, that it was specifically to talk about Hillary and the election, the secondary phone.
All right. Well, there you have it.
But
so,
why is he still in the FBI? Why is
he
still
allowed to
work?
Well, he's the head of human resources now. Oh, boy, what a great job
that
is.
He should be fired. I don't understand. I mean, if the FBI has zero credibility left, but if they want to try to regain some, they can at least give the appearance of non-bias, but they're not going to do that. And Rosenstein even testified today that he still has his security clearances. So apparently, you know, that kind of bias in the FBI is not a problem.
Well,
imagine if it was the other way around. Imagine if it was the other way around.
Of course.
I mean, they would be facing criminal charges. If this was on the Trump administration or a Trump conspiracy, these people would be strung up. They're, you know, their house raided in the middle of the night.
Oh, gee, when did that happen? Paul Manafort.
Exactly. And that's why it is infuriating to see this behavior.
Rosenstein, or wait a minute, Weissman. Weissman is the guy that I was thinking of. I'm sorry, I didn't mean... Whatever, Weissman was the guy that, he's the hitman, if you will.
And, you know, when are we ever going to see some accountability for this? And this brings us to a good point. When the Robert Mueller investigation wraps up, if there is a charge, it has become so bad. And one of the congressmen questioning Rosenstein today made this point. I think it was Jim Jordan, talked about how if there is a at the end of the day when the investigation is concluded, if there is a charge levied against Trump, nobody on the right's going to believe it for a second or listen to it or put any stock into it whatsoever except to say it's nothing but a witch hunt.
49% of the country won't believe it.
No, they won't.
But this is going to exacerbate our country. All right. Now, I'm just going to I'm going to just say this one time, and I'm not going to say this again because. I want to be very careful because I mentioned this morning. It's York. He's since passed away. What a great man. What a fantastic. I mean, what a great man. I cannot say. I met him one day. I had talked to him on the phone a number of times, but I'd met him and his wife one day, and he's from Ohio. And he had come to my aid, Joe, as did many other people when I had an incident in 2013. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into it, but I met him before he went into a coma and died, and he took me out on a pontoon boat, and I just want to say this: if you would see his Rolodex, one of his good friends is Jay Sekulow. Jay Sekulow is an attorney for Trump. It was through Pastor York that I was able to make some contacts with and I want to be very clear. I don't want to overstate things, but with the Seculo's people and Jay Sekulow. So I do know, and if you read between the lines here, because again, I don't want to violate any confidences. I kind of understand what's going on with respect to the Donald Trump legal team at the moment. Now, this is first-hand information. This is not third-hand. This is not a friend of a friend. This is not a read this on the internet. The push right now, and Jay Sekulow, I feel free to saying it because he said this, I think it was last night on air, is to cooperate with Mueller, but to establish a secondary counsel, special counsel. And by the way, there's a distinction between independent counsel and special counsel and special prosecutor. But to establish a special counsel to investigate not Mueller, but the FBI and the DOJ. And that's the tack that they're taking right now. And that's important. I'm going to shut up now. Trust me when I tell you there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, there is. And we got a great guest coming up in the next segment. Kurt Schilling, the world famous former baseball player, will be joining us. How many of you guys remember the Bloody Sock? No, we've had him on before, and he's got his own show on the radio 9 to 11 each morning. And we're going to talk with him on the other side, get his opinions on what is going on in Washington D.C. as well as his show and everything in between. We'll be right back on this Wednesday edition of the Hagmann Report.
Edition of the Hagmann Report. Man, I'll tell you, a lot of stuff to get into, but have you ever witnessed, my question to the listeners out there and to the viewers, have you witnessed a coup? You're watching it right now, whether you know it or not. The mainstream media is not covering it. The mainstream media is trying to hide the fact that there is a coup. Well, of course, yes, thank you. More accurately, they're part of the coup. And people, why? See, this is where Peter Barry Chalka, for one, comes into play. Conservatives have taken me to task, saying, get the hell off of the Sean Hannity train. First of all, I'm not on that train.
Well, when he's right, he's right.
He's been dead nuts accurate, 100% accurate. Peter Barry Chalka, 100%. But see, and Hannity's been Hannity, correct. But go ahead.
Peter has two new articles up. Who is Richard Fowler and why did he lie about Roy Moore? And then the other one from today. Fox News is number one for 2017 in news and I hate when it does it, in all of basic cable. And was last in the ratings. Fox News was number one. And some of the other ratings and variables.
Peter Barry Chalka, to his credit, has been retweeted by Sean Hannity and by President Donald Trump. And how many among us can say that? Believe me, it's the intellectual prowess of Peter Barry Chalka as opposed to us. We just provide the platform. He provides the intellectual goods, mm-hmm. and there it is. It's fantastic. Kurt Schilling is coming up. Before we get to Kurt Schilling, let me ask you, are you struggling to find that perfect gift for someone who has it all as we approach Christmas? Well, look, here's what I did yesterday, and I did this, and I did this well. I feel so good because I got all of my shopping out of the way. I went to omahasteaks.com, and as soon as I got there, I put HH on the search bar, and it came up with my family gift pack, a 75% savings, this wonderful gift pack. Look, the holidays are fast approaching. You can order gifts for everyone on your list with just a simple click of the mouse. Go to omahasteaks.com and input HH in the search bar. That's important. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. Let me tell you about how, for only $49.99, that's not a budget breaker. $49.99, it's under $50. You can get my family gift pack. Go there, omahasteaks.com, and enter our code HH in the search bar. Again, 75% off. If you were to order everything a la carte, it would be over $200. I mean, so this is a marvelous savings. Plus, while you're there, you can peruse over 500 gourmet gift ideas. Great. The most flavorful and tender aged beef. I don't like stringy and hard beef steak. I just don't like that. They've got the best, and that's why I order from there. Age 21 days to unlock the full flavors. Now, right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings just to our listeners. Listen to everything right now that you'll get for under $50. Two filet mignons. Oh, and they're so good. Two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, and they're big and they're just, oh, succulent. Four steak burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, and the Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, which I want to find out what's in there because, man, whatever's in there, it unlocks the flavor and it's really great. Plus four kielbasa sausages. And when you order now, HH in the search bar, you'll get four additional kielbasa sausages free. Plus it's under $50. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter mark code HH in the search bar. And again, enjoy and experience the 75% savings. It's a gift guaranteed to be a hit. And order, while you're there, order one for yourself as well and experience the joy of unpacking that. That's omahasteaks.com, HH in the search bar. But we've got so much going on. It's incredible.
Yeah. And we have, Kurt Schilling coming up just momentarily. I gave Todd the wrong number.
Oh, of course you did.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. And he is the host of a talk show, Whatever It Takes, with Kurt Schilling, and you can get that all over the place. TalkStream Live, Breitbart, it's on SoundCloud, it's on iTunes, it's all over the place. And we are happy to welcome back Kurt Schilling. Kurt, welcome back to the Hagman Report.
What's up, guys? How you doing? And you didn't give him the wrong number. I didn't get to the phone quick enough. That was my fault.
We forgive you. Brother, your show is just going gangbusters, right?
We're doing well. Yeah, thank you.
Tell us about how people can listen to you. Where?
It's an opportunity. You know, we live in a world where apparently your job defines what you're allowed to talk about. Because I played professional baseball for about 20 some years, and I'm not supposed to be talking about politics. Stick to baseball. I've gotten deeply involved in the last 10, 12 years of my life in politics and in the country, really. And I think a lot of that has to do, coincides with the strengthening of my faith. Those two things have kind of grown together. Which is to say that yesterday was a very, very disappointing day, obviously. I get a chance every morning from 9 to 11 on Breitbart.com to talk for 2 hours about anything and everything. Today I had Sheriff David Clark on. I had a couple other guests this morning. My wife and I do Wednesday we do it together, so we kind of do a show from a married couple's perspective. We just celebrated 25 years, and
we had
a psychologist on this morning. It was a lot of fun. It's fun. I enjoy it. I'm very passionate about the things I'm involved in, and for better or worse, and it's something I get to do every day, and I love doing it.
Well, that's awesome, especially getting to do the show with your wife, and congratulations on the anniversary.
Thank you.
And you had your own personal experience. For those who aren't familiar, Kurt Schilling was working with ESPN, and he made some political statements. They fired him. And since then, Kurt, we have seen just the with the NFL and ESPN be knocked down a few notches by the ratings, and they're laying off people at ESPN, and they've become they've doubled down and become more political. And I want to get your take on this, because it seems like it doesn't matter what the customers want, what the revenue generation is telling them. They are doubling down on this social justice warrior political correctness policy that they have, and they're losing viewers.
Well, a couple things. First off, Mike, and I'm using air quotes when you can't see them, my political rants were, I commented that I didn't believe men should go to the bathroom in the women's rooms, and women shouldn't go to the bathroom in men's rooms. Sex isn't an arbitrary thing. You're born a boy or a girl, and that's never been in dispute. And then I compared radical Islamic extremists to Nazis. So those two, apparently I offended some well-meaning members of ISIS or something. I'm not really sure, but that ended up costing me my job. And listen, I began to understand after I got warned a couple times that I was working at a company that had extremely liberal views. And it also began to reveal to me, I know you guys know Dinesh D'Souza, and he wrote a book called The Big Lie, and I'm sure sure you've heard about and read it, but there's this theory that and Hitler was one of the generators of it, that if you lie big enough, people have to believe you. The left has managed for about 200 years to lie I don't even know if lie is the right word, but they presented themselves to be the exact opposite of what they are. And I began to see that the liberals at ESPN were the opposite of intolerant and accepting and open if you disagreed with anything they said. And it cost me my job. And we're watching, listen, in the day and age when you can call yourself an anti-fascist and be a fascist, you know, what else are we waiting for? What else is happening? And, you know, yesterday, as a Christian, I was saddened to see someone elected who believes abortion up to 5 minutes before a child's born should be legal. Devastating to me. And I don't know that people understand the ramifications of that. There's a couple things, and I know I'm rambling, but yesterday was a very big day for us in a lot of ways. But I think a couple things. One thing is I think after this tenure, Alabama will never, ever elect another liberal because they'll get to experience it firsthand, and I think they're going to be horrified at what they did. But two, the agenda that is coming out of the White House is going to get stalled, and I don't blame Democrats. I blame Republicans. We've had the control that we asked for. We put the people in place we wanted, and they failed us, and that's incredibly disappointing.
Kurt, let me ask you this about yesterday's special election. We talked about that pretty much the first half hour and disagreed that it's a referendum on the Trump agenda because of how they muddied the waters with Roy Moore.
No.
What's your personal feelings on Roy Moore and what they did to him?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you know Roy Moore. I don't. The only thing I could possibly, and I'm again using air quotes, know about him is what the media has told me. What the media has told me and the man that I hear are two very different people. You know, this all started from there was a very good point made. If you guys remember, the initial Washington Post story that made the claims about sexual misconduct by Judge Moore, they surrounded the story, and here's the thing, you and I both know this. If you have claims for sexual misconduct by an adult male to a child, you don't need to write anything other than that story. I mean, that sells itself. The story that was written by the Washington Post made implications that this was a common occurrence in Judge Moore's life. At the time that these accusations were made, the age of consent in Alabama was 16. Now, listen, you can agree or disagree with that. That can make you uncomfortable or whatever, but that was the law. And this was one young lady who was underage who's come to be proven as someone who can't be trusted, as someone who has lied in the past, as someone who has misrepresented herself. And then all of the things we found out about Judge Moore from the perspective of the yearbook and the forgery and all the other stuff. One of the accusers was, all of that is to say that I don't believe them. I don't believe the media. I don't believe Judge Moore is guilty. Now, again, you can agree or disagree with me, but I don't believe he's guilty. And I think that yesterday, I don't think Republicans turned out. I also have questions about the validity of the election, but I don't want to be running around with sour grapes. There's reports that there was 95% Democratic turnout, and I just don't buy that.
I agree 100%. I'm right there with you on that, Kurt. I'm very curious about those numbers. Go ahead.
No, so yesterday, and here's the thing. You and I, you guys and myself, and all of the true conservatives in America that I know, we were incredibly upset the day after Obama was elected the first time and the second time. But we all woke up, the sun came up, we stitched our drawers up, and we got back after the work. I'm incredibly disappointed. I do believe that there's some issues with this election, but I woke up this morning, and the sun came up. I still live in the greatest country in the world. I still live in the kindest, most open, most loving, caring, accepting, diverse country on the planet. You know, so we get back after it today. And that's what I said with Sheriff Clark this morning. You know, I'm if you remember the video of the young lady who was on the ground screaming the day President Trump was elected, you know, like a 4-year-old in the supermarket who didn't get the box of Lucky Charms. I don't do that. I as disappointed as I am, life still has to be lived and things still have to get done. And so you wake up this morning disappointed. And, you know, Judge Moore said something the day before the election was taken that, you know, things happen the way God wants them to happen. There's a reason this happened, and I don't know what it is, but I know in my life I've learned so many lessons by things I thought were bad that turned out to be good. You know, if you look down the glass half full path, which I do, this opens up a lot of potential positives in the future that maybe people don't realize today.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And as you said, you know, those things that seem bad at the time can turn into positive experiences. And just use it as an example, after you left ESPN, you know, you're now hosting your own show, which you said you love to do. And I don't know if you would have done that if you'd have stayed working at ESPN. So even though in the moment things look bad, that it might work out for the better in the future. Kurt, I want to ask you this. You know, we've seen so much negative media attention on Donald Trump. I think the newsbusters.org did a poll recently, or a study recently, where over 90% of the coverage was negative, and it was a disproportionate amount of stories.
91%.
91%. But we see here, you know, the economy's really strong, and in one area that Trump's been really good at, now he's looking to get this tax bill. We got the stock market, we got the GDP numbers. Do you think that if the economy stays as strong, do you believe that will continue Trump's momentum as to stay at least supported by his base and maybe pick up a few more?
Well,
what do you think media attention is too harsh?
We live in a democracy, guys, and you know that. And so I don't, if he was a dictator, sure. He doesn't get to do things on his own. Unlike Obama, who passed about $4.5 trillion executive orders, and our elected president now rescinded many of those. Thank God. He doesn't get to work on his own. I am so disappointed and upset at the Paul Ryans and the Mitch McConnells of the world. They lied to us. The John McCains of the world, they lied to us. They said one thing and did another. And I always was under the impression that was liberals and Democrats. But we have to own that. And so, you know, we get what we deserve. And you know, like I said, I'm disappointed. But you know, and if you listen, the liberal media is having it's like a new year. Although, you know, truth be told, they didn't take a majority. They just lost. They gained a seat that they'll lose again in the next election. However, the here and now is relevant. Tax reform needs to happen quickly. I don't know about you guys, but one of the things I was very focused on was the national reciprocity bill that was supposed to. It is ready to go in front of the Senate. It's been passed through the House. So I'm waiting for that. And I think yesterday kind of dealt a death blow to that and our Second Amendment rights. So that is incredibly disappointing. But again, after all the disappointments, you know what? I guess I would tell you this, and I say this to everybody. As a Christian, I'm actually rereading my Bible again, but I've already been told how this all ends. So as upset as I get, I can take a breath at the end of the day because I know the big guy is in control, and so many things that are done outside of my understanding, and I have to accept that.
No, you're absolutely right. Kurt, I want to ask you about this. Steve Bannon has taken huge lumps, as well as Trump in the media.
Suck it, Bannon. That's Meghan McCain. Suck it.
Yeah.
From that darling Meghan McCain. Go ahead.
Your personal experience. What kind of a guy is he?
Steve hired me. That's how I got to Breitbart. I got to know Steve. I can tell you this. There is not a racist bone in the man's body. He, you know, the anti-Semite label was laughable, if only because his best friend who he founded Breitbart with, Andrew Breitbart, was Jewish. We have a desk in Jerusalem. I mean, the big lie. Paint those that you hate with the brush that paints yourself, and you can turn. We've been blackballed in a sense, and we've allowed it to happen. Steve Bannon is he can be feisty. He can be he can have a lack of patience, but the man lives and breathes for the nation he served. By the way, which he served honorably in the United States Navy, and he was an incredibly accomplished officer. But nobody knows, the next time somebody says something negative about Steve Bannon, just ask him for one fact. Give me one quote, one comment that is factually supportive. I'll tell you where I'm frustrated. I'm sure you guys have been doing this a lot longer than I have. I'm very frustrated that I can't get people that disagree with me to call in. And yeah. I realize why, because every argument with a liberal ends up, as soon as I present facts, or as soon as a conservative presents facts to an argument, liberals call you a name and walk away. Mm-hmm. And there's no productive way to do that anymore.
No, when the communication fails, you know, then you see what the kind of reactions and interactions that we have today. Kurt, I want to ask you this. We see with the Robert Mueller investigation, all the information coming out showing how, you know, pro-Hillary Clinton these people are and anti-Trump they are. Do you believe there's a coup inside of the DOJ, FBI as part of the deep state?
I believe, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm worried about the fact that the people I trust to protect my country, I can't trust. And if that doesn't scare you, then little will. I'm very concerned about the fact that the multi-lettered organizations, CIA, FBI, NSA, all of them, I feel, have an anti-American agenda in some ways, or an anti-Trump agenda. Listen, the Democrats rigged the primary. The Democrats colluded, I believe, wholeheartedly with the FBI to put out dirt on President Trump, whether that wasn't true. That's the kind of stuff we read about Russia. That's the kind of stuff we read about these third world countries, these dictatorships, and it's happening here. I got to tell you guys, I'm not a doomsday guy. I'm not you know, end of the world kind of guy, but I do believe we're headed down a path of confrontation. And not verbal. I believe it's going to be physical, because I believe that this election yesterday is going to open the doors for Democrats, as stupid as this sounds, to ask for Trump to resign due to sexual harassment allegations. I think we're going to see that happen. And you know, that's going to come from the party of perversion. I mean, look, if I had to ask you guys the two definitive epicenters of the liberal universe, I mean, in my opinion, Hollywood and the Beltway are it. Is it a mystery to you guys that the perversion, the perverts, the pedophiles, the sexual ingrates, the immoral people are spilling out daily from both of those places?
No, it's not a surprise at all. And it's, you know, and then these same people, are turning around and they're the ones that are calling, you know, Roy Moore a pedophile,
yeah.
And they're trying
again,
to get Trump
again,
out.
Just what I said, they are with the thing that they claim to hate.
Projection.
Exactly. Yep. The Alinsky, you know, rule number four, the Alinsky playbook. And by the way, you mentioned something, and I think it's so absolutely precise. This rolling out of the sexual allegations, this sudden spurt of everything that we're seeing, it was destined to happen, but again, the projection that you spoke of, and none of this, I believe, was a spontaneous or organic eruption.
No.
Of, you know, so this was planned. And again, I don't want to go too far out in the weeds, but I don't think we have to. I think that we can just look at the facts and look at the calendar of events, and I think that we could see the chronology suggests that this has been planned, and I think this is the mode to take down Donald Trump.
Right. We're seeing those calls for resignations against Trump, both from women in the Senate, women in
yep.
the House. And it is not going to end. And they say this trend is going to increase and continue through the beginning of 2018. And those calls for resignation will continue. Kurt, what do you think about Jeff Sessions? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, guys, you know, one of the things that's really worried me, and again, I try not to be a conspiracy guy, but if you guys remember the other day, I'm pretty sure you guys saw the video of the Port Authority man that set off a device and was going to try
yes.
and kill people and accidentally didn't, and all the things that went with that. I was doing a show that morning, and it was amazing to me. Within 120 minutes, 2 hours of this happening, I got to see, I knew the man's name, where he was from, what he did, how he got here, who his relatives were, all of that. I also got to see camera footage of the event. How is it that we're 3 months out of Las Vegas where 58 people were slaughtered? We've never seen 1 second of camera footage from a building that's more surveilled than any building on the planet, which is a casino. How is it that we don't know anything about that? I mean, those are the things that
yeah.
left to our own devices, people will come up with conspiracy theories, but the people that are supposed to watch us, I don't trust them anymore.
No, and I wasn't going to go here with you, but Las Vegas, that's something that is, you know, right on there on the top of my radar and has been since it happened. And the lack of information, the lack of, you
something
know, things
happened.
Like this happen. Yeah.
Something
I mean,
went wrong. And there's absolutely, unequivocally, without a doubt, a cover-up being had. Now, I don't know who's covering up what. Maybe it was another Fast and Furious gone bad, or it was a a gun, an arms trade gone bad, or it was, or maybe it was a, I don't know, but something went horribly wrong. 58 people were slaughtered in the street, 58 conservative Americans, by the way, which were targeted. And we know nothing. How is it that that's not a priority? How is it that the media isn't just going nuts over this? And it gets back to the same thing. The media is in line with whoever is against us, and they are co-conspirators, so to speak.
No, they are in line, and it's like a mandate came down from the top to the media saying, you know, back off this, don't ask certain questions, and just let it fade away. And that's exactly what they did, and it's astonishing that we don't have any answers. Usually in something like this, you see, you know, friends, co-workers of the perpetrator come out and tell their stories, you'd see, but there is none of that. No social media footprint,
you know,
no video.
I don't know if you guys heard this, but yesterday, the family of the bomber in New York City, came out and wants to sue the government for harassment.
Yeah.
I mean, up is down and down is up. But here's the thing, guys. You and I are on the same team as Christians. And I'm not complaining. People say it's whining. I'm not complaining. I'm not whining. But we are somehow we've been defined as the enemy. And us three, as white male Christians, we appear to be the most threatening thing on the planet to the liberal American. I don't understand that.
Well, it's just that hatred. These people hate what's good, and it's what you talked about. You know how faith is so important in what we're doing, and that's very true because this is a spiritual problem at its core, and that, you know, even though politics is what's used to be the dividing line in this country, it is, you know, spiritual forces of darkness at work that are driving these things. And we see that as so prominent today, and it is only getting worse and worse. That's why I feel like when the next, you know, real progressive takes power in the presidency, we're going to be in some real trouble if we see how crazy they are today. Kurt, I want to thank you so much for joining us. His show, Whatever It Takes, is on 9 to 11 a.m. on Breitbart.com, and you can get it in the podcast apps and SoundCloud. It's all over the place.
By the way, that's mandatory show prep for us. And I'm saying that.
I appreciate
it really
that.
Is.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Let me just say, leave you guys with one last thought. I understand the bitterness from the left, because if all this stuff was happening in a world where you didn't have faith in God, how miserable would you be?
Yeah. This is their faith.
Yep.
Their ideology.
Yep.
Miserable.
Hey, listen,
indeed.
Guys. Always a pleasure. God bless, I'm here for you guys anytime you want to join me, and I'd love to have you guys on my show as well.
Well, we would absolutely love that, and we truly appreciate you taking the time out tonight. Kurt Schilling, Hall of Fame baseball player, World Series winner, an all around great guy. Thank you so much, and the
God
show,
bless
whatever
you guys,
it
and
takes.
Thank you.
All right, Kurt. We'll talk with you later.
All right, guys.
All right. That was a fast first hour. I mean, geez, that just went by so quickly. Just as a quick programming note, John's going to be joining me for this next interview. We got a real treat for you. We're going to be joined by Tawny Cullen, and she's been interviewed on a number of outlets. She is an author, and we're going to hear an incredible story about miracles and faith when we come back. Then we're going to be joined by Pastor David Langford, as we are each Wednesday in the third hour. And if I remember correctly, this is going to be his only appearance until the new year. So we're looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Whole bunch going on today, and we covered a lot in this first hour. So when we come back, we are going to sit down with our guest, and John will be with me, and we'll go from there. Stay tuned.